I hope you're all having a happy and blessed Sabbath today. But I'd like to begin with a question here. Do you think I just repeated myself? When we say that somebody is happy, do we mean the same thing as when we say they are blessed? I think most of us would agree that these two things are very related concepts with each other. But I think we would also want to distinguish between the two. We would want to say that happiness was a perhaps transitory mood in which we felt positive, and that being blessed was an objective state, that good things, God had given us good things. We would want to make some kind of separation between those two concepts in our head. But what does the Bible have to say about making such a distinction? Now, as it happens, the words related to happiness or happiness appear about 237 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And that's obviously far, far too many times to discuss in one message, or a series of messages even. But what I would like to do here today is to examine the first case in the Bible where happiness is listed, and to look at how we may distinguish between the happiness and blessedness of Leah. So this comes with two questions here, obviously. So one is, was Leah happy? And second, was Leah blessed? All right, so let's begin our search for understanding the happiness of Leah by looking at the first time that happiness appears in the Bible. We find it in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 30, verses 12 through 13. So in Genesis chapter 30, verses 12 through 13, and we'll be spending a lot of time today in this particular part of the Bible here, the word happiness is connected to the birth of a son of Israel named Asher. So here we have this, as it happens, Asher, and the words related to it are the Hebrew words for happiness. So spoiler alert on that one. So here in Genesis 30, verses 12 through 13, we read the following. It says, "And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, 'I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed.' So she called his name Asher." This is an isolated example, but as we will be looking at shortly, the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, had names that were closely connected with the rivalry that was going on in the household between Leah and Rachel, two sisters who were both married to Jacob. And as we might be able to guess, this sort of rivalry is not a happy situation to have in a family. And so this hostility, this enmity between these sisters is what gives a lot of these children's names the meaning that they have. So the 12 tribes of Israel have names that are connected to the personal drama of Jacob and his family. And here in the case of Asher, this name is connected with Leah's desire to be considered both happy and blessed. And again, she makes a distinction between these two as well. So the question of why would Leah want a child to make her happy? Why would she think that having her maiden bear another son would make her both happy and blessed? So to understand this a little bit, let's go back to the beginning of Leah's story in the previous chapter of the Bible and look at Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 21 and going to verse 35. So this gives us an understanding of why it is that Leah's happiness is a problem in this part of the Bible. So Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 21, reads, "Then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled.'" These days meaning 7 years of labor, by the way. 7 years of labor, these days. "These days may be fulfilled that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah." This was something Jacob wasn't aware of until then. "And Jacob said to Laban, 'What is this you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you these 7 years? "Why have you then deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service to which you will serve with me another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So Lot gave him his daughter Rachel, and gave his maid as his wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Then when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. This is a particularly sad situation when we think about it. Jacob never wanted to marry Leah. He loved Rachel. He loved Rachel from the moment he laid eyes upon her at a well. He continued to love her throughout the rest of his life, even after Rachel's own death. And nothing that Leah could do could get Jacob to love her the way that he loved Rachel. She bore him 6 sons. We'll discuss those in more detail a little bit. But after she gives birth to another son, she keeps on saying, you know, maybe Jacob is going to love me. Maybe he's going to be attached to me the way he's attached to Rachel. And it never happened. She kept on bearing son after son after son. And still, Jacob was in love with Rachel. And even though Rachel didn't have any kids, that didn't change Jacob's feelings for Rachel. And Leah was deeply unhappy with these feelings. We can see it in the names of her children, that she's hoping that the children will make Jacob feel for her the way he feels for Rachel. And again, it doesn't happen. So we see this very sad family drama here. In fact, this sad family drama is one of the patterns we find in Scripture. If you read the Bible stories about households where a man has 2 wives or more wives, frequently we see this pattern of one wife being loved by the husband but not having any children, and another wife being unloved by the children, by the husband, but bearing a lot of children. And so we find this rivalry between these wives, the unloved wife saying, "I'm bearing all these kids to inherit, you know, my husband's property, and you're loved, but you don't have any kids yourself." And we see the grief suffered by all of the family members involved. And that's the kind of picture we see here. In fact, this family's drama was so unhappy that God ended up making a law to stop this from happening again. And we will explore that in a bit too, as it's relevant to our situation. But continuing on, again, let's look at the immediate context of the verses we've seen about. We've already seen 4 births of children where Leah has borne 4 sons to Jacob, and after each of them, she hopes that he will love her, and he doesn't. And she bears another child and hopes for the same thing, and he doesn't, and on it goes. This continues on. This didn't just stop at the end of chapter 29, but it continues on. So if we turn to Genesis chapter 30, we can read the first 24 verses and continue on the rest of these stories of the first 11 children of Jacob and see the same pattern repeating over and over again. So Genesis chapter 27, or chapter 20, or 30, verses 1, begins with Rachel's unhappiness now. So now Rachel is unhappy. And so now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" I mean, Jacob knows I can have children already, but Rachel isn't giving birth to any of them. And so Rachel said, this is another patriarchal pattern we find. Rachel said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her and she will bear a child on my knees that I may have children by her. We know that Abraham did this with Hagar. It didn't work out very well. Spoiler alert again. Then she gave to him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. This is not a happy family when your wives are wrestling and fighting with each other, right? This is not a happy household. Continuing on, it says, so she called his name Naphtali, again, wrestlings. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing children, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. That troop meaning a troop of her kids. Now she has five of them. Right? So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And here again, we repeat this comment. And then Leah said, now she has six children on her tally sheet to two for Rachel, right? She's counting score here. She says, now I am happy, that for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest, which are, not too far away from now in spring, and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Just as a historical note here, these mandrakes were thought to be an aphrodisiac. So she was looking for the ancient world's fertility medicine, right? And mandrakes happened to be an herb that was used for this. So they're bargaining. So now Leah has something, a bargaining chip with Rachel. So Leah continues. So Leah said, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? This implies that Jacob wasn't spending any time with Leah and was spending his time completely with Rachel. Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Then Rachel said to Leah, therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. Here Jacob's, this is sad. This is really sad, right? I mean, Jacob's time spent with wives is being bargained over by his wives who are making wheeling and dealing among each other for his time. And he doesn't even know about any of this, by the way. So when Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I've surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. Now, Jacob can't feel very happy about this either. He's like, what am I? I'm just getting bought and sold here for mandrakes? This is not happy, right? Not a happy situation. So he laid with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. See, again, this rivalry, these names are all drama here. Then Leah conceived again, or she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So when we read this story here, right, that we've just read, nobody is happy in this story, right? And everyone has different reasons for being unhappy, but they are all unhappy. Rachel is envious of Leah because she's infertile and isn't bearing children, and Leah is, so Rachel is unhappy. Leah is unhappy because Jacob doesn't love her and loves Rachel, even though she doesn't have any children. Jacob is unhappy because he has two feuding and arguing wives in his household who are creating a lot of drama, even in the naming of their children, and no man likes that kind of drama in their household, right? We just want peace and quiet. So again, no one is happy. And their children, none of them are going to be very happy either. Everyone around them is feuding and is arguing with each other and is creating drama. So again, none of these people are happy. right? And the Bible makes it very clear that none of these people are happy in the details it gives us. But yet, here again, Leah named a son of her maids Asher because she wanted happiness with Jacob. And she thought that by bearing him all of these sons, eventually six of them in total, and two through her maid, right? So if you're looking at the scorecard, Leah counts it as 8-4 in her favor out of the 12 sons, right? She's counting scores. She thinks that by winning the score of children that Jacob is going to love her, and that is not something we see happening, right? Jacob isn't going by that scorecard. And when we look at the family history, most of the family history of Jacob is a little more familiar to us. And when we look at that family history, happiness is in very short supply. I mean, one thing we do not see from the life of Jacob's family is a lot of happiness. So the rivalry between Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah, is mirrored in the rivalry between Jacob's children. When Joseph, for example, goes out to Dothan to look up on his brothers, they throw him in a well and sell him into slavery after threatening to kill him. Not happy children, because again, that rivalry between the parents is copied in the rivalry between the children themselves. And while there's many, many stories that would take far too long for us to discuss today, I would like to look at two brief stories that help us to understand the nature of the unhappiness of Jacob's family and how it affected the rest of their children and their behavior of the family as a whole. So again, in looking at two brief examples of the unhappiness of Leah's children in this regard, let's first look at the heartbreaking story of Dinah. When we read in Genesis chapter 30, Dinah is the only daughter that we have named of Jacob. And this had some consequences for her that are very serious and unpleasant. And we read of them, and we'll only read the first four verses of Genesis 34. Again, the whole chapter is taken up in that story. And as I mentioned, none of these people are particularly happy. This is a story about bitterness and vengeance and violence. But the first four verses give us enough to understand the unhappiness of Leah relating to her daughter. So in Genesis 34, verses 1 through 4, we read, "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land." This is an ominous sign, by the way, in the Bible. Leah, or Dinah, being an Israelite girl, goes out to hang out with the Gentile girls, and if we're sensitive to the Bible's meanings, we can tell this isn't going to end particularly well, and it doesn't take very long for this to happen. Continuing on, we read, When Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. So here again, we have immediate response to her vulnerability by leaving the protection of Israel and hanging out with all these local women, right? She is immediately taken advantage of. And it says, Shechem's soul was strongly attached to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." And this sets in a long chain of drama that eventually ends up in the town of Shechem, named after this prince, being destroyed. It ends up with circumcision being used as a weapon. And it ends up with Jacob's family causing unhappiness to the people around them, spreading their unhappiness to the rest of the surrounding countryside, right? So this is, again, an unhappy family, and its unhappiness is spreading to other people. Now, we might ask, why is it that Dinah felt it necessary to hang out with the daughters of the land? And it's often thought that because Jacob didn't have any other daughters besides Dinah, that she needed female company and just happened to choose the wrong female company. Anyway, we don't know in the Bible, though, that Dinah ever married or that she ever had any children, but we do know that this particular incident made Jacob's family even more unhappy with each other and with the people around them. Similarly, we have another story about the unhappiness of Leah's children when we look at Genesis chapter 35, verses 19 through 22. Here we have an incident that one may think of as making Leah's life a little happier, followed with something that immediately shows, again, the unhappiness and drama of this family. So in Genesis chapter 35, verses 19 through 22, we read about the death of Rachel and then the behavior of Reuben following this. So Genesis 35, 19 through 22 reads, "So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem." This is immediately after Benjamin is born, Jacob's 12th and last son. Continuing on, we read that Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went in and lay with his father's concubine, with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. So here again, not only do we have Jacob dealing with all this difficulty with two wives and two concubines for their maidservants, but now Jacob's own oldest son is now involved in all of this complicated family drama by taking advantage of Rachel's maid, now that Rachel is no longer alive. And this would have some serious consequences for Reuben. When we read in Genesis 49 about the blessings and promises given to Jacob's 12 sons, Reuben is specifically singled out for this act and is told that he will not receive either the birthright or the blessing promise as a result of it. So Reuben's action is the sort of thing we might expect people in a very insecure household to do. They try to find ways of making their position secure, and in doing that, they make their lives more difficult and their families more unhappy as a result. So this is, again, another demonstration of the deep unhappiness that we find in Leah's household, right? So Leah, we cannot say, biblically speaking, that her household and family life was very happy. We have another indirect means of recognizing this unhappiness. And I alluded to this earlier when I spoke that God was so unhappy about the household of Jacob with Leah and Rachel that he made a law to stop it from happening again. So to sort of explain this law, I would like to tell you a story about a football player. This will make more sense, trust me. So there's a fellow football player whose name was Hines Ward. Now Hines Ward was a successful Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's famous for two things in football. He's also famous for winning Dancing with the Stars, but that's, again, irrelevant to this topic. But for football, he did two things. First, he was the Super Bowl MVP in the Super Bowl when the Steelers defeated the Seattle Seahawks at the end of the 2005 season. In fact, this particular game, Seattle Seahawks fans like Mr. Laux are still unhappy and bitter about this result to this day. Second, and more relevant to our present discussion, is that Hines Ward was very aggressive in downfield blocking for the other receivers and for Pittsburgh's running backs. And other teams were very unhappy about the way he blocked. In fact, they were so unhappy that the National Football League made a rule to ban the sort of blocking he did as a wide receiver. To this day, they call it the Hines Ward rule. So Hines Ward got famous for doing something that the league bothered the league so much that the National Football League said, no one can do this ever again. Right, so now we get to the situation with Rachel, with Leah and Jacob, right? Jacob's family made God so unhappy that God said, I'm not going to allow this kind of situation to happen again. So we find this law written in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 18. Now, Leviticus 18 as a whole is one of the most important chapters of the Bible speaking to our times. It speaks to a lot of things that are forbidden by God that our society likes to engage in large quantities. But for our purposes today, we just want to focus on this one verse because it reveals to us some of the mindset of God when he makes a law like this. Right? So in Leviticus 18, verse 18, we read the following law. It's very short. It's one verse, one sentence, and it sums up the unhappiness that God had with Leah and Rachel and Jacob and all of their family history. God said here, "Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive." Right? God was unhappy at seeing the family of Jacob and their squabbling and their bitterness and their hostility with each other. And so God's unhappiness at this said, I'm going to remove at least one cause of certain unhappiness and misery in this world. Right? Human beings have many ways of making ourselves unhappy through our behavior. And one of those ways of making ourselves and our families unhappy is by marrying two sisters who become bitter and hated rivals and enemies of each other. Right? Sisters should love each other. But when sisters, then that love is poisoned by their shared desire to for their husband, who they're fighting over the love and affection that they want from their husband. This is a certain cause of misery in families. And God, after seeing what happened with Jacob's family, said, this isn't happening again, right? There's too much that bad things have happened. This just has to be made against the law. Like, I just cannot allow these things to go on. And so God did. And so when God creates laws like this, God isn't trying to remove our fun from us. He's telling us, these things will certainly make you unhappy. Do not do them. And this is a case of that. Marrying two sisters who are fighting with each other over the love of their shared husband is something that will certainly bring misery to the man, to both of the women, to all of their children, and to those people who are unfortunate enough to be caught in that network of unhappiness, like the people of Shechem, for example. Again, that certain misery. And when God prevented this from happening again, we can't expect that our disobedience of these laws will bring us happiness, right? God prevents these to prevent unhappiness. If we break God's laws, in like this one, we can expect that the results will be unhappiness to ourselves. So far today, we have spoken about the happiness of Leah, or the lack thereof, and we've discovered plenty of evidence to suggest that Leah and her children and her husband and her sister were not particularly happy. The Bible does not give us a picture of a happy, well-functioning family. Instead, it gives us a picture of a family that we would find on a series of afternoon talk shows dealing with their domestic melodrama. And again, we see that Jacob loved Rachel, continued to love Rachel. After she was dead, he put up a monument for her. He never stopped loving her, never stopped favoring her children, Joseph and Benjamin, all of which had serious consequences on the feelings of his other children as well. All right, so again, if Leah was not particularly happy, was she blessed? All right, let's get to our second question. Was she blessed? And this is happily a much shorter and simpler answer to give. And that is to say that, yes, she was absolutely blessed, without question. We are approaching the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And it's worthwhile in that as we come to the Passover and days of unleavened bread, for us to think a little bit about the experiences that ancient Israel had in Egypt. So let's return to Genesis chapter 35, where we left off, actually. And let's look again at the families that went into Egypt. And let's reflect upon what it says about Leah. So in Genesis chapter 35, starting in the second half of verse 22, and continuing on to verse 26, we read a listing of the family of Jacob, right? So it says, now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servants, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. And if we count Joseph as being a double tribe, because both Ephraim and Manasseh had their own tribal identities and their own land allotments in the land of Israel, we can see that Leah herself was the mother of 6 of the 13 tribes of Israel. So nearly half of the people who were in captivity in Israel and who were freed by God and went to the promised land were the descendants of Leah and herself. So she was blessed, right? Her family, the nations that came from her, were almost half of ancient Israel. And even more to the point, included among those children are the two children that received the political blessings, let's say, of Israel. The priesthood went to Levi, so the Aaronic priesthood, the Aaronic priests and Levites are all the descendants of Leah personally. And similarly, Judah, who received the kingly blessings, from Jacob, also the direct descendants of Leah. So the family line of David and Jesus Christ all count among Leah's descendants as well. So again, Leah was absolutely blessed, not only in number, but also in the fact that all of the priests and kings that would follow along those blessings all came from her own progeny. So regardless of the melodrama of Leah's life that we read about in Scripture, regardless of the rivalry and difficulty and hostility within those families, Leah herself was absolutely blessed and continues to be blessed from the blessings that were given to her descendants. So what does this all mean for us today? For one, we all still live with the results of Leah's life. The blessings and promises given in chapters like Genesis 49 sprang out of the drama and difficulties of Leah's family. And those blessings and promises and characteristics that those people suffered in that unhappy family still carry on to this day in the characteristics of the various nations of Israel. Similarly, we see that the unhappiness of Leah's family caused God to create a law, of make a rule against that behavior of marrying two sisters to be rivals with each other, that we still have to obey to this day. It's still part of the law that we are subject to, that God holds us to. And there are definitely some cautionary aspects to Leah's life that are worth noticing as well. Leah's desire for happiness and love from her husband is a desire, I think, that many people can identify with, a desire to be loved by their husbands. And the feeling that hopefully if they bear children, if they are good enough as a housewife managing their house, so that maybe their husbands will love them the way they should. And often we find that, unfortunately, it doesn't tend to affect the emotional lives of the people involved. You know, bearing a lot of children isn't going to make your husband love you if he doesn't love you, and if he's in love with somebody else. Sometimes, as is the case with Leah, the unhappiness of their personal life has spiraling consequences that go way beyond the course of their own lives. As we saw with the case of Dinah, as we saw with the national characteristics of and the rivalry between the family, the children and the families of Israel, there were many cases where the hostility between Jacob's wives is borne out even today in the drama that happens between nations and house and families of nations. But, as is the case with Leah, sometimes God brings very beautiful and wonderful things out of very unhappy lives, right? Leah was absolutely blessed by God. And even with her unhappiness in life, she still has a blessing that has gone on for thousands of years that nobody can take away from her. No unhappiness in her life can remove that. There may be times in all of our lives as people where we know that we're blessed, where we know, objectively speaking, that God has given us many blessings, blessings that we appreciate, but blessings that we praise God for. But at the same time, we may still struggle to feel happy, even with all of these blessings that we know we have. And in those kind of situations, perhaps we can all relate to Leah, who again struggled with these same questions of whether she was happy or blessed in her own life.